Welcome to the It Is Better to Know podcast.
This is Anne.
I'm Valerie.
And I'm Cecilia.
This is a podcast where we use our expertise as pharmacists to break down relevant health topics and make them easier for you to understand.
Now let's get started. You got me curious.
Hello, BTK Army. This is Valerie the Valerian Root again today with Anne the Star Anise and Cecilia the Ceylon Tea.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Welcome back indeed. Man, it's hard not to be anxious these days when it comes to hearing about the high COVID numbers. Right now in Alberta, we're in wave three. Well, I guess everyone around the world is in wave three pretty much. And we set a new provincial record for the number of new daily cases.
I know.
That's scary.
2 days in a row. There's a really high number of hospitalizations and ICU admissions right now. I think everyone should really consider getting their COVID vaccination as soon as they can, just to help prevent, you know, hospitalizations and death.
I mean, in Alberta, we're pretty lucky to get all this COVID vaccine. And I mean, people are desperately wanted to get the vaccine, in my opinion, but they've only won like the Pfizer, Moderna, the majority of people right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I'm thinking. Like, I'm not sure if I agree with how the rollout is. I just think that, you know, because people 60 and older and those with pre-existing conditions are more likely to die from COVID. So I'm not sure why we don't just give those people the second dose instead of making them wait 4 months later. What are your opinions on this?
I know. I think it seems like our rollout is a little bit slow, but hopefully, you know, we're able to get more supply in and then people will be able to get their second shot sooner than 4 months. I did see an article in Alberta where Kenny said that possibly he could be, or the government could be offering second shots to people by the end of June. So hopefully that'll be the case. I just really want everyone to be vaccinated ASAP.
And I think the Alberta government is actually changed their guideline a little bit about the second dose for those who are immunocompromised.
More immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. Or at higher risk.
So the second dose would be spaced at least 4 weeks, but no. So anywhere between after 4 weeks from the first dose up to the 4 months. But yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get more Albertans vaccinated, since I don't like being on the Canadian news for being number one in
we're number one. We're
number one per
we're
capita.
Not even we beat right the now. States.
No, oh, no, no, wow. In Canada. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry, the states are still really number one, but
no, apparently, like, people were telling me how they have like concert and stuff and nobody was wearing masks.
Where? In America?
In the States, yeah.
Oh, I think it
depends
where.
So I don't know
where.
If like, all those people get the second dose and that's why they're able to allow that to happen. But that was strange to hear. It's like back to normal in some area of the States, I guess.
Interesting.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But you
I
guys,
had no idea.
Yeah, but so all of us get the COVID vaccines already then?
Yeah, I did. Do you guys?
And did you?
Oh, I did, yeah.
I also did as well. I only got it recently, and so I got it done at the public health center, not at a pharmacy.
Me too.
And the experience was good overall. Well, it first started off with the person in front of me. One of the intake people were actually saying that if you have a cell phone, you can use your QR reader on your cell phone to pull up that fit for you know, like, are you fit for work type of thing, but are you fit for immunization really is what it's asking survey, so that you can speed the triage process along so that you can actually safely go in to get your vaccine for that day. And
really?
I said to him, I don't have a QR reader
what
on my phone.
What kind of survey did you have to fill out? I don't remember filling out a survey.
Oh, it was very similar to the one that we have to fill out for work, where it asks you, you know, do you have any symptoms of COVID? Have you traveled anywhere outside of Canada in the last 14 days? Have you been in contact with anyone sick? You know, those types of questions, mm-hmm. they asked that. And so I told him I didn't have one of those on my phone. Interesting. And then the second thing that happened is he was using tongs to pass out masks to people, which is fine. Right. I thought that was actually pretty sanitary.
Okay.
And then he looked at me and then he gave me, he handed me my mask and I was like, what's this mask? It's really tiny. And so he actually
Did he think you're a child?
You a kid's mask.
Just kidding.
I'm like, what? Well, in my head, I was like, what? But then outwardly I was like, okay. And then I put it on. I was wearing a mask already. But I had to replace it. Pardon me?
He gave you a kid's like medical mask?
Yeah, he gave me a kid's medical mask. I had to replace the one that I was wearing because it wasn't fresh. So he gave me another one. So I put it on and he said, I gave you a kid's mask because your face looks small.
What?
And so I put it on and then I adjusted it and he's like, does it fit okay? And
no.
I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I'm like, but I was like, then when I got home, when I took off my mask, I saw lines over my face.
Yeah.
So, but the really, truly though, the ones that I usually wear, I think are a little bit big on my face, mm-hmm. but it's, I guess it's more comfortable, but the kid one was more restrictive.
No, I think the kid one was like way too small, right?
Yeah, it's way too tight.
Yeah, well, he did give me an option to upgrade to an adult size one, but I said it was okay. I thought I didn't want to, not that I would be causing a scene, but I'm just always like Bruce Lee's mentality of being like water. So I didn't, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, whatever, this is fine. I didn't mind.
You're like, it fits on my face, moving on.
Exactly.
We had very different
anyways when I come home. So that was my interesting story about that. Otherwise, it went pretty uneventful.
How long did it take altogether?
I'd say probably 40 minutes.
That's okay. Like me,
not
yeah.
Too bad.
I also went to a public health center and I think like all around, like from in and out to... from when you enter the building to when you get to go, like including the 15-minute waiting period afterwards, I think it took about 40 to 45 minutes. So I thought it was pretty good.
I was
really well organized. I thought it was quite seamless. Although I didn't have to fill out a questionnaire, and also the person just asked me if my mask was fresh, and I said yes, and they just let me through. So I didn't get the chance to experience the possible kid's mask, which I'm glad. So yeah, it was a good experience.
I didn't mind though. I mean, I guess you could take it as a compliment. In some parts of the world, it's desirable to have a small head or a small face. So
that's true.
I will look towards the positive in
yes.
in this case.
Honestly, I was just so excited to get vaccinated that I was kind of riding a high that day. I was like, "Yay, this is so good!"
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, lots of people are excited to get their COVID vaccine.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so we will pick up where we last left last week when we were talking about omega-3. So check out last week's episode if you want to hear about the supplements. We talked about how omega-6 and how omega-9 fit in. We also talked a little bit about what the science shows behind brain health and development. So this week, we're going to be talking about the other reason that omega-3 supplements or omega-3 diet through the supplements or through the diet are widely taken, and that's in heart health. So Cecilia will be playing the pharmacist and I'll be playing the patient, and Anne will be providing commentary.
Okay, let's get started.
Hello, this is the pharmacist speaking. How can I help you?
Oh, hi. I'm thinking about starting fish oil supplements for heart health. I have some questions, though. Can you help?
Yeah, absolutely. What are your questions?
Oh, I just wanted to see how much it's going to benefit me for the cost of the pills. I'm not quite sure how much I should actually be taking either.
Those are some really good questions. But first, I need to ask you some questions to determine, you know, if I can help, how I can help you most appropriately. So I'll just need to ask, like, you know, what kind of medical conditions you have. So do you have any history of cardiac events like heart attacks or high cholesterol levels or any diabetes?
I have high blood pressure and high cholesterol, no diabetes. I thought I'd try to get ahead of the game to help my overall heart health, though, with these omega-3 supplements.
In the United States, the Food and Drug Administration has approved qualified health claims for the use of fish oil supplements in the prevention of high blood pressure and coronary heart disease. Now, Health Canada's monograph on fish oil statements on the general use of fish oils, specifically referring to the omega-3 fatty acids EPA and DHA, includes that it helps reduce serum triglycerides and maintain and support cardiovascular health.
Fair enough. It's always good to be proactive about your health. Good job.
Yeah, so I did a little bit of Googling prices and products. I found that it's about $25 for 120 900 milligram EPA DHA soft gel capsules. It's on sale right now, actually, for $19.97. It's said it's ideal for people with high triglyceride levels, high blood pressure, and risk of coronary artery disease. It has 600 milligrams of EPA and 300 milligrams of DHA per capsule. It says I only need to take one capsule per day. So wouldn't I fit the bill for starting this?
So I looked at one of my references, which is Natural Medicines, and it says, let me read it out to you here. So it says, oral prescription fish oil products reduce triglyceride levels in patients with hypertriglyceridemia, and oral fish oil supplements may reduce triglyceride levels when used in very high doses of up to 12 capsules per dose. Hypertriglyceridemia is higher than normal blood levels of triglycerides, which is a type of cholesterol. So I guess my question to you is, do you know what cholesterol levels are high?
Well, I don't actually know which cholesterol of mine is high. And quite frankly, I didn't even know that there's different types of cholesterol.
Well, maybe we can talk about that in the future, but all you need to know is that fish oils have been shown to be effective in reducing triglyceride levels. There's also other cholesterol, so that includes like high-density lipoprotein, or HDL, low-density lipoprotein, LDL, and very low-density lipoprotein. So in a nutshell, you want a higher level of high-density lipoprotein and a low level of low-density lipoprotein.
Okay, I'm not sure what type of high cholesterol I have, so I can figure that out later with my family physician, maybe. How much would it actually take for the triglycerides level to be reduced with using these supplements?
Well, fish oil can reduce triglyceride levels by 20 to 50%. It is dose dependent, so that means basically the more fish oil you take, the more it'll lower triglyceride levels. It also seems to be more effective in patients with severe hypertriglyceridemia, which is defined as levels of 500 milligrams per deciliter and above. So are you on any medications right now for your high cholesterol?
I'm on rosuvastatin.
Okay, so you probably don't have high triglyceride levels then. Most doctors prescribe this medication to help lower the low-density lipoprotein.
Now, if you are taking fibrates, you are likely taking this to decrease your triglyceride levels. Fish oil might be less effective than fibrates in this case. For example, one study showed that fish oil doses of 4 grams daily is not as effective as gemfibrozole 1200 milligram daily.
Oh, wow. That's very impressive. You were able to deduce that just by hearing what drug I'm on. It's like you're a detective.
Thanks. I actually get that comment a lot about how I'm like a detective.
I'm not going to doubt that for one second. Hey, and you mentioned there's a difference between prescriptions and supplements.
Yeah, so I'm going to share some USA counterpart information here. So there's specific fish oil preparations that are approved by the United States FDA for use in combination with diet to lower triglyceride levels in adults with severe hypertriglyceridemia. You can only get them through a prescription in the States, though, and the doses are usually 4 grams. That provides about 3.4 to 3.6 grams of omega-3 fatty acids daily. And this helped lower triglyceride levels by about 20 to 30%.
Now, if you're only taking 2 grams daily, study shows that the lowering effect of triglyceride is only reduced by about half. So the American Heart Association stated that 4 grams daily of prescription fish oil products are useful in those with high or very high triglyceride. Some examples of prescription fish oil preparations include Lovaya, Omtric, and the Epanova.
And what about the supplements and the dosing?
Well, the clinical research shows that doses ranging from 1 to 15 grams daily for up to 6 months have been used. But some experts view these forms of fish oil as not good enough because the omega-3 fatty acid content in fish oil supplements is usually lower and often variable compared to the prescription ones. That's why they said up to 12 capsules of supplements daily may be needed to provide similar triglyceride lowering effects as prescription fish oil.
Now, despite all these findings, the American Heart Association did not recommend for or against the use of fish oil supplements for high triglyceride.
Well, I wanted to mention, you know, since you're on rosuvastatin, over-the-counter fish oils may be associated with increased low-density lipoprotein, which is what we're trying to lower with the use of rosuvastatin. And this seems particularly true for people with type 2 diabetes.
My gosh, I'm glad you told me. I wouldn't have thought this is even a possibility. Thank you. Hey, I have another question though. Is the prescription stuff available in Canada?
Okay, so we do have one particular product. So it's called Vascepa, which just got added to the Canadian market February 7th of 2020. The active ingredient is icosapent ethyl, which is an ethyl ester of EPA. It's available by prescription only. Its indication is to reduce the risk of cardiovascular events in statin-treated patients with elevated triglycerides who are at high risk of cardiovascular events due to established cardiovascular disease or diabetes and at least one other cardiovascular risk factor. The dosing is 4 grams per day. This is taken as 2 of the 1-gram pills twice a day with food.
On another note, dyslipidemia is defined as high levels of lipids, and that includes cholesterol, triglycerides, or both, or a low, high-density lipoprotein, so if you have low HDL cholesterol level as well. Now, currently, it is unclear if oral fish oil is beneficial in patients with dyslipidemia.
So how about my high blood pressure? Will it help me there?
Well, fish oils appear to be possibly effective in reducing the systolic and diastolic blood pressure in adults with moderate or severe hypertension. And hypertension is the medical term for high blood pressure. So when it comes to mild hypertension or in those using medications already for high blood pressure, it's not clear if adding fish oils is effective in reducing blood pressure further. Do you know what your blood pressure usually is like?
My family doctor and I are still trying to get it under control. Right now, it's about 150 over 95.
Now, the number is a little bit confusing. So most of you might heard, that 150 over 95 term. So typically, to break it down, the first number in the blood pressure is the systolic blood pressure. And the second number is the diastolic. Now, you hear blood pressure measurements read out in this order. And the units of measurement is typically in milligrams of mercury. So the top number, the systolic blood pressure, is the pressure during the heart's contraction. Now it measures the force your heart exerts on the walls of your arteries each time the heart beats, while the diastolic blood pressure measures the force your heart exerts on the walls of your arteries between the beats. Now, so based on the average blood pressure recorded at the doctor's office, for example, hypertension is classified as either high normal, stage 1, stage 2, or stage 3. Now, these stages are used by the European Society of Cardiology, the European Society of Hypertension, the National Heart Foundation of Australia, and the National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence. So, hypertension target blood pressure range is typically less than 140 over 90. And if you have diabetes, your blood pressure target is lower, and we're trying to get that number to be less than 130 over 80. So if you are in stage 1, which is defined as mild hypertension, the number that you would normally see when you measure is between 140 to 159 of the systolic and between 90 to 99 in the diastolic, the bottom number. Now, if you have moderate hypertension, which is a stage 2, your range is between 160 to 179 for systolic and 100 to 109 for diastolic. And the last stage is defined as severe hypertension, which is stage 3, and where when you measure, your systolic is usually above 180 and your diastolic is above 110.
So 150 over 95 would be considered mild hypertension.
So do we know how much it would help to reduce my blood pressure then?
Well, from what I can remember, there was a large pool of different studies, which is called a meta-analysis, that showed in general, fish oil reduces the systolic blood pressure by 2.5 to 5.5 millimeters mercury and diastolic blood pressure by 1.5 to 3.5 millimeters mercury in individuals with high blood pressure.
But I'm on medication for my hypertension. Does that change anything?
It's unclear whether fish oil is beneficial in people who are already taking medications for high blood pressure. I have stumbled upon some research before that shows that taking fish oil at doses of 5 grams daily for 6 weeks doesn't enhance the effects of a particular class of medications for high blood pressure called ACE inhibitors. But there is also other research that shows that fish oil decreases the systolic and diastolic blood pressure in patients taking medications for high blood pressure called beta blockers or diuretics.
Ooh, those terms are going over my head.
Well, the bottom line is that taking fish oil does not seem to significantly improve blood pressure in people with high blood pressure that remains uncontrolled despite using medications for their blood pressure.
Well, that's exactly me. How about if I were to take the fish oil through the diet then rather than supplements? Would there be any difference there?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm glad you asked. There was actually a study that shows that natural fish oils help lower blood pressure by making the blood vessels get wider via ion channels. You know, dietary supplements containing DHA ethyl ester, which is found in most fish oil pills, do not activate the same channels. They found that the DHA ethyl ester seems to compete with the natural form of DHA found in foods for binding sites on the ion channel.
Now, this is a little bit complicated, but when the pharmacist talks about ion channels, she is referring to the vascular smooth muscle cells that line the blood vessels. Now, they have ion channels that span the outer membrane of the cells so that it lets sodium, calcium, potassium in and out of the cells. So to put it another way, the flows of these ions in and out of the cells cause the vasodilations and vasoconstriction of the blood vessels. Vasodilation means widening of the blood vessels, and vasoconstriction means narrowing of the blood vessels.
Oh, that's so neat! So you're saying that omega-3 fatty acids from natural foods like oily fish have practical health benefits that might not exist with omega-3 supplements, at least when it comes to omega-3 from ethyl esters. It isn't as good as other forms, perhaps.
That's exactly right. It's always better to know, right?
Right. It's always better to know. But I haven't completely thrown in the white towel yet on these fish oil supplements. What about the overall coronary heart disease benefits like it's saying on the label that I'm looking on the internet here?
Well, actually, the effect of fish oil on cardiovascular or heart health is controversial. From the evidence, oral fish oil doses up to 4 grams daily does not seem to be beneficial for primary or secondary prevention of heart disease. It's also unclear whether dietary fish oil or a higher daily dose is beneficial for prevention of heart disease.
Okay, let me explain the terms a little bit. Primary prevention is treatment or intervention aimed at reducing the risk of experiencing cardiovascular events such as a heart attack or a stroke. And secondary prevention is meant to reduce the risk of developing recurrence. So you already got the episode. Now we're just trying to prevent a future episode of any heart-related issues.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, fish oil supplements do not appear to be beneficial for primary prevention of cardiovascular disease. Why is it unclear that dietary fish oils would have benefits when we talked about the potential positive effects on blood pressure earlier?
That's a good question. So population research found that increased consumption of dietary fish oil is actually associated with a reduced risk of cardiovascular death, sudden death, and heart attacks in people without cardiovascular disease. A large meta-analysis shows that higher intake of fish oil as part of a diet or from supplements has little to no benefit for primary prevention of cardiovascular disease. But there might be a reason for conflicting results because most of the primary prevention studies included in these studies used fish oil supplements rather than dietary fish oil. This is a pattern of other meta-analyses where dietary fish oil is underrepresented.
Oh my gosh, you're just so brilliant. That's so fascinating. I guess you could say where dietary fish oil stands right now is that it may reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, but results are conflicting and any benefits are probably modest at best.
Yeah, that's right. So people should still continue to eat fish and other foods that provide omega-3 fatty acids, though, because it does have health benefits and, you know, it supports just a healthy, overall, well-balanced diet in general.
So here's the good news. When it comes to heart failure, dietary fish oil does seem to prevent heart failure. And oral fish oil seems to be also prevent mortality in patients with heart failure. So the American Health Association state that it is reasonable to consider supplementation with fish oil 1 gram daily in patients with heart failure.
Well, what about the fish oil supplements in this case?
So the American Heart Association and many other guidelines, so that includes the Canadian Cardiovascular Society, they say that fish oil supplements are not significantly beneficial for secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease. The best evidence that we have to date shows that fish oil supplements, typically taken in doses of 1 gram daily, are not beneficial for primary or secondary prevention of heart disease.
But I'm using a statin like rosuvastatin to help control my cholesterol levels to prevent things like heart attacks and strokes. Do the studies say anything about fish oil use in my case?
Well, there's some speculation that patients in more recent studies were more likely to be receiving protective effects from treatment with statins and other drugs rather than the fish oil itself. There has been a couple of meta-analyses conducted recently that shows that fish oil does not reduce the risk of major vascular events, you know, whether or not you currently use a statin or you've used a statin before.
So here's the thing. Oral fish oil appears to be possibly ineffective for the following. Angina isn't possibly ineffective, which is like a chest pain or discomfort when your heart muscle don't get enough oxygen-rich blood. It's also shown to be possibly ineffective for atherosclerosis, which is the buildup of fatty deposits forming plaques along your arteries. And it's also possibly ineffective for people with atrial fibrillation, which is when you have fast and irregular heartbeats.
Okay, so that answers my question about me being on the statins. What about drug interactions, though? Should I be concerned about any drug interactions if I were to start these fish oil supplements?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Well, you know, it could potentially have antiplatelet effects. So basically, that means that it could increase the risk of bleeding. You know, if you use it with drugs that prevent clotting, so like anticoagulant and antiplatelet drugs. You know, theoretically, if you take fish oil with medications for high blood pressure, that could increase the risk for dropping your blood pressure too low. So that would be known as hypotension.
Now, fish oils, when taking in combination with birth control drugs, might also decrease the triglyceride lowering effect of the fish oils. This has decent evidence, so make sure you discuss this with your physician to see how clinically important it is to you.
Okay, so that's good. But I have another question. What are some of the side effects I could experience from fish oil supplements?
Most people, you know, do really well on it, but, you know, some patients might experience some side effects. So you might experience abdominal pain or bad breath, fishy aftertaste, heartburn, loose stools, nausea. Sometimes a rash has been reported.
Here's a tip for you. If you find that you have heartburn or, you know, acid reflux issue, try to look for a supplement with enteric-coated formulation. Now, keep in mind that over-the-counter supplements include various preparations of omega-3, such as fish oil, krill oil, and vegetarians with fungal or algal oil supplements. And product composition, quality, and purity of the fish oil supplements are very variable. So the United States Pharmacopeia, USP, has a list of fish oil supplements with verified purity and potency that you could check out. So, you know, if you want a verified fish oils and omega-3 fatty acid supplement, just make sure that you Google USP website and you can find it there.
Whoa, thank you so much for all this information. It sounds like I should just not worry about supplements at this point. You know what? And if I did have high triglyceride levels, I'm pretty sure my family doctor would have told me and would have put me on something for it. And I have mild hypertension, so it's unclear if there's any benefit. I'll probably just stick to the omega-3 sources that I get through my diet at this point in time.
Yeah, and some of those studies looked at using 4 grams a day, and it didn't show a clear benefit for primary or secondary prevention of cardiovascular events. If you wanted to use it just for overall heart health in your case, it might be better off just to implement, you know, other lifestyle changes for both primary and secondary prevention of cardiovascular events. So that would include things like lowering your sodium intake in your diet, exercising more, you know, choosing a Mediterranean diet, and, you know, if you are a smoker, stopping smoking.
Oh, those are great points. Thank you so much. You've been so helpful. I have no more questions.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, so here's today's bottom line. Oral prescription fish oil products reduce triglyceride levels in patients with hypertriglyceridemia, but it may raise low-density lipoprotein, LDLs, in other words, cholesterol, and this is known as the bad kind of cholesterol. In Canada, the only prescription fish oil product available is Vascepa, and it is used for secondary cardiovascular prevention in adults with elevated triglyceride levels despite statin use. Oral fish supplements may reduce triglyceride levels when used in very high doses of up to 12 capsules per dose. Fish oils appear to be possibly effective in reducing systolic and diastolic blood pressure in adults with moderate or severe hypertension. Taking fish oil does not seem to significantly improve blood pressure in individuals with hypertension that remains uncontrolled despite using medications for hypertension. Fish oil supplements do not appear to be beneficial for primary or secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease. Although it is unclear whether dietary fish oil or higher daily dose is beneficial for prevention of cardiovascular disease, it is still considered as part of a healthy diet for cardiovascular risk reduction. 2 or more servings weekly for patients is recommended. Dosing depends on what you're actually using it for. For prevention of cardiovascular disease, consider 1 gram of EPA plus DHA daily. For elevated triglycerides, consider 2 to 4 grams of EPA and DHA daily. Just to recap from last week's episode for neurological health, consider 1 to 3 grams of EPA and DHA daily. Beware of drug interactions and discuss with your physician before supplementing.
That's it for today's episode. Please remember to like and subscribe to our podcast. We're on Twitter at Better to Know Pod and Instagram and Facebook at It Is Better to Know. Leave comments and reviews. We really, really love hearing from you.
Yes, and don't forget to DM us on social media with your questions. Who knows? Your questions can be featured on our future episode.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Toodaloo, BTK Army. Stay curious, our beautiful friends. Well, that's the end of our segment. Thank you for supporting this podcast. Since this is a new podcast and we really want to expand our listeners, to help us do that, we would love for you to take a moment, head to where you listen to our show, and hit subscribe. Thank you for helping us get the word out. We really appreciate it.
Curious Music is performed by Bonsai Mammo, written by Andrew Southwell and Jimmy Harry. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only and should not be taken as medical advice. As every individual is unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions.